ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीनैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीम् वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गिमदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। In the previous day, we saw just a brief introduction into Advaita Pancharatnam, so the work which has five shlokas and which deals with Advaita, which deals with the ultimate truth and in the form of Anusandhanam, or that which will help us. It's a contemplative work that will help us remember the truth. And as we saw, the truth behind the world that we currently experience is what Vedanta calls as Brahman, and it is Advaitam, we also saw yesterday. So this world, or this truth, whatever we learned yesterday, has been summarized, or we can say in a way put into capsule form by Shankara. In a couple of his works, it is Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So Brahman is real. So the entity of Brahman, that which is Satchidanandam, that which is existence, consciousness, bliss, that which is eternal, that Brahman is Satyam, that Brahman is truth or real. And this world, the world that we currently experience, the world that we are constantly experiencing each and every minute of our life. So that world is just an illusion. It is mithya. So mithya means that which is changing. So as we saw yesterday, changing. The changing world is just an illusion in the changeless substratum of Brahman. So changes are, like as we saw, changes relative. It's just an illusion in the substratum, which is absolute, changeless. So this jagat is mithya. So mithya means, as we saw, anityam, asukam, lokam. So mithya means it is sorrowful. So sorrowful means like it will give us only sorrow. So again, like since the world will give us sorrow, that doesn't mean like we have to renounce everything. Krishna says, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. At all times remember me, and then like do yuddham. Yuddham means swadharmam. Whatever is suitable to our nature, whatever we feel comfortable doing, we can do that. So it doesn't matter what we are really doing, but it does really matter whether we are able to keep this truth, the truth of Brahman, in our mind. So that is something which is very important. That is something which should not be renounced at any cost. So we see in Puranas, we see many cases. Vibhishana went against his own brother of Ravana because Ravana didn't stand for the truth. Mahabali went against his own guru because the guru, guru of Shukracharya, told Mahabali to go back on his word, go back on his promise. So there are cases like even Prahlada's father told Prahlada, Prahlada's father was Hiranyakashipu, he said Prahlada to worship him rather than Vishnu. But Prahlada set him aside. So this means that what is important is keeping Brahman in mind. Whatever it takes for us to keep Brahman in mind, that we have to do. We have to do it at any cost. It doesn't matter what we are renouncing for, or in order to remember Brahman. So remembering Brahman, we can do whatever actions that we are comfortable, that we are supposed to do. Our dharma, janaka. Janaka did, was a Chakravarti, he was a king. So he did all activities that he had to do. So Janaka didn't run, like he was a Chakravarti. That means he does like he did activities whatever he had to do. So Mahabali, even Prahlada also was an Asura. Mahabali also did whatever he had to do. His activity of attacking the Devas, he did that like perfectly. He did that like he was able to do that with full involvement and still not being affected by the activities, that is because he was able to remember Brahman. So just because the world is an illusion doesn't mean we have to renounce the world, but it just means we have to remember that it is temporary and it cannot give us any happiness. So if we keep in mind that Brahman cannot give us happiness, that is enough. That is sufficient. That is very well, very much enough for us to not get affected by the world, like whenever something goes wrong with respect to the world, we will not get affected by it because we knew that the world is temporary. The world will always cause sorrow. So that is something like that we have to remember. So the second part of Jagan Mithya, and then the third part is Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha, the individual self, or that which pulsates inside us as I am there. So this is called Sphuranam in Sanskrit, Sphurti or Sphuranam. Irrespective of whether like we are awake or sleeping, irrespective of which country we are, irrespective of whatever activities we are doing, at all times this is there. So people may doubt like, is there something called Brahman? Is there some Ishvara? Am I doing the right thing? So people will have mind itself is as the Shastra say, mind is the cause of problem. The mind takes us into delusions. The mind, the very nature of mind is doubting. Sankalpa vikalpa atmakam manaha. Mind is that like which goes into pros and cons. So it will always doubt. So the doubting mind, the mind like will always kind of doubt. So we may doubt that there is something, is there Vedanta? Vedanta is there? Is Vedanta? Will Vedanta give me happiness? Is Brahman real, or is this concept of Advaita right? Whatever the person is talking, is it right or wrong? So we may doubt all those, but we never doubt our own very existence. So nobody doubts like their own existence. Do I exist? Nobody asks the question, do I exist? Am I existing? Like, will I cease to exist tomorrow? Nobody doubts that. Like, even then, that's when Yaksha, during the Yaksha Prashnam episode in Mahabharata, when Yaksha asked the question to Yudhishthira as to what is the strangest thing in the world, the strangest thing is like people are bold. Even though like the body will die tomorrow, people think they won't die. Yes, everybody thinks that they will not die. Why does everybody think they won't die? Because the body dies, the self, the I, the pulsating I never dies. So people become the pulsating I, the conscious I for a moment when they think they are not going to die. So nobody doubts this, the existence of this this I, the self. And that self, that pure consciousness. So pure consciousness means that which is not affected, that which is not attached to the body, the mind, the intellect, the objects, the relations that we create in this world. So it is not affected by any of those. So such an I is one with Brahman. Such an I is eternal, as we saw yesterday. Such an I is eternal. Therefore it is one with Brahman. It is the same as Brahman. So Krishna repeats this like in many places. Ishvara sarvabhutana hriddeshe Arjuna tishtati. So in many places, jyotisham api tad jyotihi tamasa paramuchyate jnanam neyam jnana gamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. I reside in the heart of all beings. So Krishna makes this statement like in many places. So heart of all beings means like I am their very nature. So if at least Brahma Satyam, easy to understand. Jagan Mithya, also easy to understand. So what about my nature? So if I am Brahman, and if Brahman alone exists and I am Brahman, then why don't I experience happiness? So we don't experience happiness because we think we are the body. So many times we say, I am so and so. I am a girl. I am a boy. I am so many years old. I work here. I live here. So many such kind of notions are there. And those notions are totally false. As we saw yesterday, when we get into the dream state, the I that I'm awake now, I am a boy now, boy or girl. When I go to sleep, will I remain a boy or girl? Who knows? Nobody knows. The I, who am I, human? When I go to dream, I may become a devata, I may fly. I may fly around. So it does happen. It very well happens. For many people, it does happen. So that means, this I changes, this body I, or what we consider as the body. Now, body is just temporary, therefore it will change. So today we have this body, in the next birth, once this body becomes old enough, vasnam sijirnani yata vihaya, even as we throw away old cloth, old dresses, and wear new dresses similarly, the Atman inside us, when this body becomes old, this body is thrown away and a new body is taken up. So we are not this body. We are not this body, but since we consider ourselves as this body, as the mind, as the ego. Ego means I have so many friends. These are my friends. These are my parents. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. These are so and so people. These are relatives. I work here. So many such notions get in. Because of these notions, we are not able to experience the bliss, which is our own very nature. The pulsating I, as we saw earlier, that pulsating I is Brahman. That means that pulsating I is blissful. Brahman is blissful. The pulsating I is blissful. But we are not able to experience that bliss because we have all these wrong notions. And when these all wrong notions are there, automatically wrong notions, whenever wrong notions are there, I am the body notion is there, then we consider this body to be real, which means Jagan Mithyatvam vanishes. We consider the world as real or eternal, the body as real or eternal, and that causes us problem. That causes us trouble in the long run. So the first thing that Shankara does in this work is trying to prove our very nature. This I, the I that which pulsates inside us, the I, the real I, who we are, that is being clarified, or that is being clearly mentioned by Shankara very first itself. So in the first part itself, in the first shloka itself, Shankara explains that clearly. So this is something this is a very important shloka. It's not about Brahman, it's about our own very nature. So many times we are not able to remember the truth that Brahman, one Brahman which is unattached, unaffected, which has no relation, which is just a substratum to the illusory world. World means world consists of the body, the mind, the ego. I am so and so. This ego is also part of the world. Because without remove the world, where is this ego? Individuality. Ego means individuality. This individuality is not there if the world itself is not there. Or if we consider this world as unreal, then where is individuality? Individuality also becomes unreal. So it will be a person portraying a role in a movie. So a person portrays a role in the movie. But the movie itself is an illusion. It's not real. So the role is also unreal. So that means both go hand in hand. So, but that is not remembered. People don't remember that Brahman alone exists. And therefore all these wrong notions creep in. So these wrong notions have to be negated. Negated by asserting that Brahman alone exists. This world is, or this world of duality is just an illusion. And my very nature is Brahman. The more and more a sadhaka is able to remember this concept, And that, like, I am Brahman, the more happiness will be revealed inside. So the more and more a sadhaka is able to do anisandhanam, that I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, then, very easily, sorrows will just vanish. Very easily a person will be able to remain very blissful. So that is like, so this is a very important shloka. If we have learned Nirvana Shatkam or any other work of Shankara, it's also very similar. So, Naham Deho, Na Indriyani, Antarango, Naham Karaha, Pranavargo, Na Buddhi, Dara Patya, Kshetra Vitta Adi Duraha, Sakshi Nityaha, Pratyagatma, Shivoham. So, when we try to assert our nature, or when we try to figure out the truth behind our truth, ultimate truth. Ultimate truth means that which is eternal, that which is blissful. So when we try to analyze or try to come to that conclusion, we will have to do two things. So we'll have to first of all, we will have to find out before even considering those two things. First of all, we have to find out how many things are there. How many entities are there, and try to categorize them. So when we try to analyze this world, or whatever we experience, there is only two categories in this, all experiences, whether it is an experience of a jnani or an ajnani, experience of a poor person, rich person, it doesn't matter. One is the subject, and the other is the object or objects. So, subject is the one who experiences the objects. So, subject is independent of objects. Why is subject independent of objects? Because in deep sleep, like as we saw yesterday, when we go to sleep, when we have no dream, the subject is still there. Subject means I am there. But are objects there? Objects are not there. So, that means when objects are not there, subject is there. But imagine a state where the subject is not there. If I am not there, where is this world? The world will cease to exist. So that means objects are dependent, relative, whereas subject is absolute. So this is the subject is what Vedanta calls as Brahman. Objects are what is called as world. So Brahman and world. So when we come to this conclusion, or categorize the entire world into just two entities, Brahman and world, then what we have to do is we have to negate that which is dependent, that which is relative, that which is illusory, that which is unreal. So negation of the world is jagan mithya, and once we negate whatever doesn't exist, we have to assert whatever really exists, which is Brahma Satyam. And yesterday, as we saw, with respect to the body, when we consider as an individual, then with respect to the individual, what is not real? What is not real is the body, the mind, the intellect, the ahankaram, and then all the relations, all the possessions, the external possessions, wife, children, house, wealth, all of those, friends, all those we can add. So, all those are not real. All those are not real. Why is all those not real? Why am I not the body? Or at least I am not the body, fine. But, why don't I have a father or a mother? Why have house or wealth and all? Until when will all those possessions, all those relations exist? Those relations are temporary, though they don't exist eternally. They vanish even in a day. In a day, we go to dream. When we dream, we have a different father. While we dream, when we are going into the dream world, we have a different parents, different wife, different children, different relatives, different friends, different wealth. So we may be a poor person, but when a poor person goes to dream, he becomes a very rich person. So all those happen. So even in a day, it kind of changes. It vanishes. So it means these are not real. So these are not our true nature. They come and go. So how do we deal with people passers by. So let's say like there was somebody was passing through our house, and like there was a car breakdown, and a person wants to stay like one day in our house, and we say, okay, fine, like you can stay here. But he's a passerby. So we know that he has come and he will definitely go tomorrow. So like if a person comes and goes, we will not get affected or attached to the person, because we know that he'll come and go. Similarly, in a rental house, when we go to, Amma says this example, that when we stay at a rented house, what happens, like we don't get attached to the house because we know the house is temporarily there, it will vanish. So all of these, like these, the body, the mind, the ego, the sense organs, relations, possessions, so all those are temporary, all those are not permanent, all those are there today, it will vanish tomorrow. So that which doesn't stay eternally is not our true nature, that will not give us happiness. And like, since I am there while awake, I am there while I am sleeping, so that means these objects are just temporary, I am not these objects. So again, like when we come, so that is negation of whatever is temporary, whatever is not real. An assertion of whatever is real is, what is my real nature, what is my true nature, will come to that. But before that, when we try to negate whatever is temporary, this body, the mind, relatives, possessions and all, they also can be split into two. So one is aham and the second is mama, means I and mine. So that is what generally called as ahankara. So I and mine. So with respect to the body, we say I am the body. With respect to the ego, I am the ego. And with respect to possessions, with respect to relations, we say these are my people. Oh, this is my object, this is my boss, this is my friend, this is my car, this is my dad. So we'll say, so that means this I and mine. So all of these, like I and mine, are temporary, as we said. So they have to be negated. They are not my true nature. If they are my true nature, they will be there at all times. In dream, like I am there, but they are not there. So these are not my nature. My nature. Then like, what is my nature? My nature first is distinct from all of this. I am not the body. Naham Dehu. This body is changing. From like, as we said, like from day one, when we take birth, like this body is very small. And now it has grown, like maybe healthy now. After a few years, it will become weak. And even like when youngsters may also become weak, it changes, it goes through phases. So that changing body, like even when the body changes, we say yesterday, like I weighed like 60 kilos, today I weigh 65 kilos. How is it possible? The body is different. If the body is different, then there is no nothing to compare both. We compare yesterday's body with today's body. Yesterday's body is different from today's body. Then how are we able to equate or relate both? That is I. That means this changing body, like this changing body cannot be I, because I am the same yesterday and today. The body is changing yesterday and today. So I am the changeless witness of the changes of the body. The body changes. The body yesterday was something. Today the body is something else. So these changes of the body is witnessed by me, by I, who am the same yesterday and today. So that, like that I which doesn't change, like even when the body changes, and that I which witnesses the changes of the body, even as a person, like when we are driving in a car, we see an accident, so we don't do anything, we just look there, we just witness the accident. We are not part of the accident, we are not part of anything that happens there, we are just a mere witness. In the same way, I witness the changes of the body. So such a witness, so that means I am a witness. That witnesshood is what Vedanta calls a Sakshi Bhavam or Sakshi. So I am a witness to the changes of the body. So am I really a witness of the change to the changes of the body? Obviously, because like when the body changes, I remain like unaffected by the changes of the body. No, when the body changes, I try to change it. So I am not a witness, I am affected by it. So the affected by it is because we consider ourselves as the body or as possessing the body. So that is an illusion. So as long as we consider like I am the body, or we consider that I have this body, I own this body, the changes of the body will affect us. So this aham and mama, whether it is naham dehu or indriyas or antarangam, mind, ahankaram, pranavargam, buddhi, dharapatya, like children, all those, it doesn't matter whatever it is. All those, if like I think I am related in any way to any of these, then I suffer. So going back, like my very nature is Brahman, but why do I suffer? Because I think I am related to this I and mine. So I think I am related to these, the body, the mind and all those. Therefore, I get affected. So the way to come out of this, the way to get rid of the sorrow that comes due to getting affected by all of these is by contemplating, by analyzing, first analyzing, like whatever we have to do, critically analyze, that is fine. Vedanta clearly says, any person who critically analyzes the changing body, the changing objects of the world, will come to the conclusion that I am nowhere related to any of those. Okay, like I might seem to possess this body, I might seem to talk through this body, that is just an illusion. It is like an actor portraying a role. When the actor portrays a role, it may appear as if like the actor is a role. Is he the role? He is never the role. He is different from the role. He is always different from the role, but he appears to be the role. He appears to be part of the role. That is the illusion. We have to get rid of that illusion. We can get rid of that illusion by remembering that I have no relation to any of these. Again, no relation to any of these doesn't mean like we have to get rid of it. Okay, I am like an actor. I have no relation whatsoever to the role that I am portraying. But does that mean like I should get rid of the role? Definitely no. We can still like do the role. If we are not affected, like if we know that the role is just an illusion, it's not real, then what does it matter whether we portray the role or not? It doesn't matter. If we know that this role is not real, what does it matter to you? Okay, well, what does it matter if we are in a movie and like we shoot a person? It's fine, because we are not really shooting. There's nobody shooting. It's just an illusion, so what does it matter? It doesn't matter. So that means all this doesn't mean that we have to get rid of whatever we possess today. Oh, you yesterday said like I am not the body, so I have decided to throw my body onto fire. That is not something like that we have to do. We don't have to do that, because I am not this body, then like let it continue as it is. Let it continue for as long as it goes. Yeah, let it continue. But when the time comes for the body to be dropped off, when the body is about to die, we will not cry. Okay, when the body like suffers, okay, try to like go to the doctor, get some medicine, take medicine, and try to clear the disease, or get rid of the disease, cure the disease. If we are not able to cure, still it's fine, right? Because this is just an illusion. So I am not the body, I am not the indriyas, I am not the mind, I am not the ahankaram, I am not the pranas, I am not the buddhi. I don't have any of these, like dhara, patyam, like I don't like have any wife, like children, land, wealth, all those are not there. Then who am I? Sakshi. I am witness, nitya, eternal sakshi, eternal witness. Pratyagatma. So pratyagatma means that which is distinct, distinct self. Distinct or innermost is the meaning of pratyek. So distinct means it is very distinct from whatever has been mentioned previously. Distinct from the entire world, distinct from the body, distinct from whatever else is there. Very distinct. And Shivaha Aham, Shivoham, Aham Shivaha, I am Shiva. Shiva means consciousness. Shiva means light. Shiva means auspiciousness or like light. Mangalam, Mangalam we say for Shiva means Mangalam. I am Mangalas Rupam. Mangalam means like light. Light alone is auspicious. So that's why lamp. Auspiciousness means we lit lamp. Whenever we lit lamp, we say, oh, it is auspicious. Because light. Light is auspicious. So Shiva is the light. The light of consciousness. The light of consciousness means like that is the basis for everything. Remove Brahman or this conscious principle. Remove this conscious I inside from us. If we remove that, what will exist? Well, nothing. Like everything will die. Everything will instantly vanish. This world will cease to exist completely. So that is light. The light of all lights, as the Shastras say. So it's the light of all lights. It is the conscious principle. So that conscious principle I am. So this, though it is like it is, it might seem to be very simple. It is not like that simple to kind of remember. It is very easy to remember now that I am not the body, I am the self, I am Brahman. Whatever exists is an illusion, duality is an illusion, the world is an illusion. The world means like the body, the mind, relatives, friends, objects, all those are just illusion. I am Brahman, which is distinct from all of this. I am Brahman, which is eternal, which is the substratum of all of this. Okay, it is very good, it is very easy. Very easy to like memorize the shloka or even memorize the concept. I am Sakshi. I am Shiva. Shivoham, Shivoham. There are many people in the world like who go around like saying Shivoham, 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 Shivoham. And like when the body suffers, like then where will Shivoham go? Shivoham will still be there. Oh, Shivoham, take me to the doctor. Shivoham, like give me that sedative. Shivoham, I am in pain. Shivoham, like where is my milk? Shivoham, where is my coffee? So that is how Shivoham, like many people implement Shivoham in that way. If we do that, yeah, like we can mentally chant or intellectually just repeat that I am Shiva, I am Shiva, I am Shiva. But okay, will that give us any happiness? Will that give us contentment or that we talked about in the previous day? It will not. Contentment, if contentment has to happen, then we have to live that truth. So living that truth means whatever happens in the world, when the body is suffering, let it suffer. I am not the body. When the mind is like in pain, like or the mind is in confusion, I am not the mind. Try it out. If one moment like they are able to think that time, I am not the mind, let the mind confuse itself, immediately confusion will vanish. Whenever we have any confusion with respect to any decision making, like whenever we have to make any decision, try repeating this. Brahman alone exists. I am Brahman. And see, try it out. The very next moment, confusion will vanish. Confusion will vanish. Because when there is only Advaitam, like when we say there is only one Brahman, like and Brahman alone exists, then where is confusion? And that doesn't mean like our we will not make any decision. Decision will come quickly. Because when we are able to remain as Brahman, when we are able to contemplate on Brahman, what is Brahman? Sakshi. Sakshi means a mere witness to everything. So witness, so in court, like in court cases, a witness is called. The witness has no relation to whatever happened, whatever is the case is about. A witness, since a witness is a third person, third party, he will be able to judge without any bias. So such unbiased judgment will always be right. So the moment we are able to contemplate that Brahman alone exists, I am Brahman, we become Sakshi. The moment we become Sakshi, decision making will become very clear. So we have to learn from like Mahatma, like Amma, with respect to these decisions. Like when tsunami hit, the very next day Amma announced that like she is going to donate $1 million, 1 million or 1 billion, I don't remember now. So US dollars, immediately that like our rupees, like 1 billion rupees, which is which comes to 22 or 30 or some million dollars in million US dollars. So the very next day she was able to make that decision. There was no confusion. Well, should I make this decision? Will I get a lot of money? She never thought like that. And obviously the money came. Many of Amma's devotees donated. People like Amma herself used to say, people who used to be very poor, or people who are poor, even poor people, they used to set aside their income, a part of their income, and they used to send that to Amma so that Amma could fulfill this promise, this pledge towards tsunami victims. So that means decision, when we remain as a sakshi, decision making will become very clear. So today decision making, whoever has to take any decision, why do companies suffer a lot of loss? Most of the companies, Apple is doing very good. Yeah, Apple might do very good today. But we'll have to wait and see how many times has Apple made the right decision. How many times has Apple succeeded? We can't say Apple has succeeded quite a lot. Yeah, iPhone may be a big success today. Initially, it was a big hype. But it was not a big success initially. After some days only, it became a big success. The mini iPod Classic, there are many things, there are many initiatives that Apple has taken. So even today, Apple's laptops don't sell other laptops. Because it is a failure. So that means decision making, when people who make decisions, they don't remain a witness to whatever they have to decide, the decision making will not be right. It will always end up in sorrow. The suffering might come maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It doesn't matter. It will definitely come. It will come because it is not an unbiased judgment. So this is with respect to worldly actions or worldly decisions itself. So if we are able to remain a witness, if we are able to contemplate on Brahman for one moment, momentarily we are able to remain as Brahman, immediately decisions will become very clear. And then we don't have to decide, should I do this, should I do that, should I sleep, should I eat this, should I do that, should I go out. Immediately decision will come. So why should I make decisions? I have my parents to make my decisions. Okay, well and good. Parents are there. How long will parents be there? There will be a time when we will have to make decision. So the decision making will become very easy. I think I have a lot of money, so I'll create a role around me, or create a job for a person around me, personal assistant who will make all the decisions. Okay, good. Decision making is just one of the advantages of Sakshi Bhavam. It is not just decision making. Decision making is with respect to the mind. Everything will become clear. We will not doubt about doing actions. Forget decision making. Decision is made. So decision is made people have to be saved from Haiti. But how to do? The next comes action. How to do? How decision comes, and then to do it, to implement the action in itself, it becomes really painful. So all those pains will immediately vanish. We will not be able to suffer at all. Once a person contemplates on his very nature of Sakshi Brahman, then there will be no problem. Problems will just cease to exist. When sorrow comes towards such a person, sorrow will not be able to survive there. Sorrow the sadness that we experience, it is darkness. Darkness means that which doesn't have any glow, that which doesn't have any hope, that which doesn't give us any peace. Such darkness cannot stay in front of Sakshi. Sakshi means light. So darkness cannot stay in front of Sakshi. So sorrow cannot stay. Tarati shokam, tarati papmanam, guha grantibhyo vimukto, amruto bhavati. Tarati shokam, a person who realizes or who is able to contemplate on his very nature being Brahman, Sakshi shivoham, and able to live that, tarati shokam, such a person will conquer sorrow. Tarati papmanam, is there any papam? What is papam? Punyam papam, when we talk about punyam papam, it is relative. When we do good karma, we'll get punya. When we do bad karma, we'll get papam. when we get punya phalas, like we will become very happy, we'll have become happy or excited. When we get papa phalas, we will become sad. No, all those are part of the world. So if we are able to remain a witness, if we are able to remain a witness to like the all like a punya karmas, papa karmas, or punya phalas, papa phalas, then like where is punya, where is papa? There is no papam, there is no sin, there is no suffering. Like if there is no suffering, then where is sin? There is no sin at all. Even Krishna goes to the extent of telling that a person who remembers Ishvara, a person who remembers Brahman, Ishvara, Brahman, Ishvara, Brahman, Ishvara is Brahman. Vadanti tat tattva vidaha, tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Bhagavatam says that it's one truth, that non-dual consciousness which is proclaimed as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, Ekam Sabhi Prabhudha Vananti. One truth is explained like variously, people term it variously. Those are different terms. Terms may differ, like it doesn't matter whether we call water or whether we call Jalam, whether we call Neeru or whether we call Tannin, Vallam. All those are different terms for water. It is water only. So similarly, Ishvara, Brahman, all are the same. So if we are able to remember like that Brahman alone exists, then there will be no papa. Then like how will be the attitude? Whether good activities come, bad activities come, na prahrushye priyam prapye, na udvijye prapye cha priyam. Sira buddhi rasam moodo brahmavit brahmanisthitaha. Na prahrushye priyam prapye. When something good happens, I don't get excited. I am happy, like I am blissful. Oh, good happened. Oh, very good. I'm not excited. Okay, fine. Na prahrushye priyam prapya, na udvijaye prapya cha priyam. Whether something bad happens, I don't like something and that happens, then I don't get sad. Oh, like I like coffee and I get coffee, I don't get overexcited. Oh, I got coffee, I am content. Like I like coffee, but like there is no coffee in Starbucks. Starbucks is out of coffee. Though that won't happen, but still let's assume that it happens. Though Starbucks is out of coffee, I have to drink tea. Oh, tea. Okay, that is also fine. I am content. Sthira buddhi. This is sthira buddhi. One whose like mind is constant. One who is able to abide as Brahman. Remember a mere witness. Sthira buddhi. Asammoodaha. There is no moham in such a person. Moham means delusion. Delusion means forgetting jagan mithya, considering that I am the body, considering the body to be real, considering objects of the world to be real. Not just real, real means Vedanta. Like when we are learning Vedanta, we have to always remember real. Along with real comes bliss. Real means which is changeless. Changeless means bliss. Unreal means changing. Changing means sorrow. So real, when we consider all of these as real, we will enter in dukkha. But there is no, we don't consider any of this as real because we know Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. I am Sakshi Brahman. All these are just illusions in me. All these are illusions in Brahman. So since we remember that, like asammoodaha, there is no moham, there is no delusion. And such a person, Brahmavit, such a person knows Brahman. Brahmanisthitaha, such a person abides in Brahman. He remains as Brahman, he remains as Sakshi. Remaining as Sakshi means remaining very blissful. If we are not able to get this attitude, or if we are not able to remember ourselves as a witness of the body, witnesshood, as simple as we said, like a witnesshood as simple as it might seem, when the body is suffering, it may not be very easy to say, I am a witness, let the body suffer. That's something like that which we cannot, which is very tough. It requires a lot of practice, lot of abhyasam to get to that state. So if we are not able to remember that, it is fine. We can just offer everything to Brahman. Just remember everything is Brahman and just offer everything to Brahman, whether it is good or bad. We don't have to use our discretion while offering to Ishvara. When we offer to Ishvara, like it's not only, of course, we consider offering means like we consider offer only good things. Even bad things are fine. Oh no, that is not what I have learned, that I have heard. Kama krodha adikam san tasmin neva karaniyam. Narada gives this like very beautiful perspective even to kamam, krodham, even to like attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion also should be directed towards Ishvara. Everything, don't use your discretion, just give everything to Ishvara. So gopis, like you know, gopis as people like who are very devoted to Ishvara, they were not devoted, they were also like us. They had all those attachments and all. They were like, they had attachment towards their husbands, their wives. Of course, they didn't have knowledge, so will they be unattached or a witness. But what they did was, they were able to like go to Ishvara. They were be able to seek out Krishna. And since they sought out Krishna, Krishna purified them. So that is how gopis became like so devoted to Krishna. Because they approached Krishna. They just approached Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajandema janaha sukratino arjuna. Oh, Arjuna, there are four types of bhaktas. Like artha, arthaarthi. People like who want to get rid of suffering, pain. And people who want possessions. And then there are people like who want knowledge. And there are people like who are realized, which means they are one with me. So there are four types of bhaktas. And so all are good because they have done good deed. What is the good deed? They have sought out Ishvara. When we seek out Ishvara, Ishvara's very nature, Ishvara is light. As we said, like Ishvara is light. Light means like it is like a jyoti. Jyoti means fire. So light means like sun. Fire. It is fire. Irrespective of whether we offer something good to fire, or like when we say, oh, you know what, like I can't offer this like laddu to Ishvara. Why? It doesn't look like that good. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't matter. Whether it is a good laddu or bad laddu, when we put into fire, what will happen? Fire will burn it. So when we offer everything onto Ishvara, it's neither good nor bad. Everything we offer onto Ishvara, Ishvara will purify us. So, if we are not able to maintain Sakshi Bhavam, fine. Ishvara, who is Ishvara? Advitiya Satyam. Ishvara is Brahman. That Brahman, like who is the substratum of this world. So, substratum of this world means like who pervades this world. So, substratum, like when we see water in desert, the desert is there throughout in water. The water is not real. So, whatever we see is also desert. So, desert pervades water. Each and every spot in that water is desert. So similarly, this entire world is filled with Ishvara, filled with Brahman. Brahman alone is there everywhere. So remembering that Brahman alone is there everywhere, if we are able to offer everything onto Ishvara, then like that is enough. That is as good as whatever Shankara says here, remaining a witness. So why? How do we remain a witness when we offer everything onto Ishvara? When we offer everything onto Ishvara, then where is this limited I? Everything is offered. If everything is offered, then where is this individual? There is no individuality. There is no like and dislike. Because whatever I like, I offer to Ishvara. Whatever I dislike, that also I offer to Ishvara. Then where is individual? There is no individual. Then that means like it is Sakshi Bhavam, it is witnesshood. So just offering everything onto Ishvara is also a very easy alternative to witnesshood. It's an indirect way to witnesshood. At least that we can try. And Krishna explains this in many places in Gita. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ananyashintayanto mam yejana paryupasate ananya bhajanam. Without anything else means like just think about me. Just think about me means just think that I alone am there everywhere and offer everything onto me. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyaha. Like don't get attached to any actions, just offer everything onto me. When you offer everything onto me, then you will not get affected by the good fruit or the bad fruit. As Amma says, if something like good happens, Ishvara's grace. Oh, Ishvara's grace. Ishvara's karunyam. And if something bad happens, Ishvara's will. Ishvara Icha. It is Ishvara Icha that like this should happen. I am content. So like when we are able to maintain this attitude behind actions, then like it is same as Sakshi Bhavam. When we maintain Sakshi Bhavam, we will be able to remain very blissful. So wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we'll be able to remain very blissful. And day by day, like when we implement this, okay, this implementation doesn't mean we have to do it only when we learn Vedanta. or when we only when like we have taken bath in the morning, it doesn't matter. For this, it doesn't matter that we have to take even bath in the morning. Just offer. Oh, like if just get up in the morning. Oh, Ishwara, I offer everything unto you. Like or like if we are cooking, like while we are cooking, oh Ishwara, I am offering you this food. Oh Ishwara, I am going to start work. I am offering this work to you, my professional work. Like if we try doing this, if we try implementing this, we will see that it is very blissful. It will give us immense bliss. Like we will be very blissful. And like the more and more we try to do this, the more and more we implement this, like people will also start like noticing the difference. People will start saying, people will start looking at us and say, oh, what is happening? Like you look like very blissful. We will be very blissful because our mind, we are not affected by anything. We are able to remain a mere witness. We are able to remain very blissful. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. I'll remember that there is only one Brahman. I am that Brahman. I am that Ishwara that alone exists. And what is this? Like all this happening? As Swami Vivekananda said, like glad I did big blunders. So all these are blunders. Don't I have to take care of my job? Okay, how long will we take care of our job? Maybe like few years after that. After retirement, what will happen? Who takes care of the job? I don't know. So that means like take care of the, even we are not, after getting 80 years or 90 years old, we can't even take care of our own body. Then like what can we take care of anything else? So that means this is just like something which is there. It has come, yadrichikam. It is something like that has come. It's just a portrayal, as we said earlier. It is just a play. We are just acting in a play. This is like a long dream. Let it continue as it. It doesn't matter whether it continues or not. Let it go the way it has to. I'll do like my actions in the best possible way. I'm not going to renounce anything. I'm just going to remain blissful. Whatever I have to renounce in order to remember Brahman, I'll do that. But I will remember Brahman at all cost. And along with remembrance of Brahman, I will do whatever I have to do. Whatever is assigned to me. And like having this attitude, a person will be able to remain very blissful. And the more and more we do this, like the more and more bliss, as Shankara says, yogaratova, bhogaratova, sangaratova, sangavihina yogam. And like whether we are doing yoga, whether we are doing bhoga, enjoying, sangaratova, sangam, like if we are getting attached to something, asangam, like we are totally attached, totally detached, not at all attached to anything. It doesn't matter what we are doing. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam. One whose mind is abiding in Brahman, one whose mind is focused on Brahman, nandati, nandati, nandativa. Such a person will rejoice, rejoice, and verily rejoice. Bliss alone will, like as Krishna says, abhito brahmanarvanam vartate viditatmana. Around such a person, like we will be able to experience immense bliss. Because such a person will remain very blissful. And such bliss can come when we contemplate on our very nature being Brahman or that Ishwara alone exists here. This Bhedam, this Dvaitam or duality that we see, this body, the mind, objects of the world, all those are temporary. They are not real. They are just illusions. Whatever exists is Brahman and Brahman alone. The more and more we try to contemplate on this, the more and more we are able to remember this in our mind, the more blissful we will become. And like at least by the end of this birth, if we are able to contemplate more and more and make this very strong, then like even when Yama comes to take away this body, we will be able to remain very blissful. And then, whether we get another body or not, that's a different thing. It doesn't matter whether we take birth again or not. Because we know that I am blissful Brahman. This body is just temporary. Let it come again. One role is over. One film is over. One movie shooting is over. So let the next movie shooting start. We will be able to remain very blissful. So that is the goal of life. As we said yesterday, life becomes fulfilled like when we are able to remain blissful, and we will be able to remain blissful like if we are able to remember that Brahman alone exists and abide as Brahman, offer everything to Brahman, just pervade our mind with thought about Brahman, all the while externally doing whatever we have to do. Just in the background of our mind, keep this that only Brahman exists. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to maintain such a very blissful state, and our life will get fulfilled in this very birth itself through contemplation of this beautiful shloka of Shankara. We'll continue the next day. Namaskar.